Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and joining, as always, in the Big Three today is my dear friend, Jessica Baker. Jessica Baker, welcome to the Big Three.
Thank you, Matt. It's good to be back, as always.
As always. I feel like we're at the point now where I just don't even need to introduce you. Like, yeah, people like, just assume that you're creeping in the corner just with a mic ready to go.
I always am.
And
bring
I love
my
that.
Big Three mic everywhere.
I love
everywhere.
That. It's a beautiful thing. So we are 2 weeks deep into the discipleship cycle. Yep. We've got our second kickoff week starting next Sunday.
Yes.
And there's a bit of a bit of homework to prepare. Mm. We are being challenged as the PM congregation to do the Just Fast Challenge by Baptist World Aid, where we live on the rations of a refugee for 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. There's some pasta in there, some rice, some tomato paste. I'm excited about that. Some lentils, chickpeas, some tuna, powdered milk. Not so excited about that.
It's not a fun time.
It's not a fun time. First question, will you be doing the challenge, Jessica Baker?
Yeah, look, I was outside of the room getting some prayer when Mark made that announcement. And so I was sitting on my lounge with my husband. He was like, Jess, do you know what's happening next week? I was like, no, what is it? He's like, this is all we get to eat. I was like, what do you mean half a cup of pasta for 3 days? He's like, yeah. He's like, are we doing this?
Yes, we're doing it.
Look, I'm not working Wednesday, Thursday, so I will be at home death staring my kitchen. Mm. That's the only thing. And then on Friday, I'll probably pass out mid-birth.
not your own birth.
Someone else's birth. So, look, it's a risky game to play as a midwife. But
it is.
Refugees work hard too.
Yeah.
And well, they're not okay.
No.
But
and this is just one small way in which we can kind of understand the crisis that is. Mm.
I did live below the line when I was in high school, and that was seemed like a little bit easier because you just had to live on $2 a day, but like for the week, so you could buy like in bulk rice and things. So I actually was eating like big quantities of just really like starchy foods.
Yeah.
Really sad part. I bought a bag of sugar to make some toffee, and I was like, if I feel like passing out, I'll just have a little bit of toffee. Burnt the toffee. So it was just eating burnt toffee for the whole week.
Yep. Well,
so I'm hoping that this experience is a little bit better, but I don't think it will be.
Listen, I mean, excited's not the right word,
no.
But I am expectant to learn something. I'm willing. I'm a willing participant.
I'll see how it goes on Wednesday and then we'll reevaluate.
My thing is that I've got an assignment due on Wednesday, so which of course means I'll be starting and finishing the assignment on Wednesday.
Course, yeah.
Of course, thank you. But I'll be doing that on an empty stomach, so everyone just needs to give me a wide berth, I think.
Like, is our water limited?
No, I believe you can, you know.
Which is not accurate, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think it's accurate either. But I think
they don't want us to.
Yeah, stop. I think we're getting some liberties that.
Yeah. Heavy days.
Yeah. So anyway, exciting
wish
times.
Wish us luck.
Wish us luck, guys.
With pray, the power of the spirit.
Yeah, we'll get there. Well, in a moment, we're going to be joined by Belinda Lakeland, who preached during our evening service this past Sunday. Jess and I will be putting the big three questions to her as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. Now, for those of you who missed it, Belinda launched a new series for our PM crew, Following Jesus in the Gospel of John. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. But for now, Jess, I'm interested on your thoughts coming out of Belinda's message on Sunday.
Yeah, I thought it was a banger. I love a good prop. I'm always here for a prop.
She came
when
up
she
with
walked
the props.
Up with a picnic basket. I was like, yes, I'm here for this. I am ready. But I thought it was a really amazing sermon. I think like what she said, like kind of first up, I think one of her big take-home points really just sat uncomfortably in my stomach, that like in a good way, that kind of you know, are we just using Jesus because he's useful to us, or are we actually following him and letting his agenda kind of take over? And I was like,
don't ask me the serious questions.
Yeah, because I think like it is like a cycle in my life of like, hey, I'm doing fine, later's Jesus, and then I'm not doing so fine, oh, okay, I'm happy for you to step in now, or I've got a big decision coming up and I really want it to go well. And although I've already made up my mind, if I pray to you and it seems like you're involved, it probably will go really well. So I think, yeah, that's going to take some mulling over.
That was a hard one. I think also that idea of we bring our own perceptions, mm-hmm. use English, Matt Willis, yes. Perceptions of what Jesus kind of brings to the table, to take the food analogy a little bit further. But like he brings so much more. Like I loved that idea of they came for bread and yet he's the bread of life. Like just you need to open yourself up to actually what Jesus has on offer, because sometimes we come and we're like, well, I just want this. I just need this. And Jesus is like, are you serious? Like I got such better things in store for you. Yeah. You're missing out.
Yeah, we're going to need a whole lot of that bread of life this week. That is for sure.
Jesus, take the wheel, please. Well, I think it's time for us to start looking at the three big questions submitted through Slido this week. So, Jess, what are our big three?
So, question one is, how do we know if our agenda is God's agenda?
I think that's a classic. That's a classic question that just keeps coming up for us in the big three.
Yeah.
And, you know, clearly it's one that everyone is wrestling with. Like, how do we discern from God?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard.
Question two, what does it look like when the bread of life comes in to fix the broken system?
Yeah,
very nice. I'm excited for that
answer. Yeah,
it's going to be a good time. And question three, how can we use God's encouragement to best support and guide others to follow him?
Yeah. And that was that whole point around, you know, sometimes things are hard and things are rough, but we need to kind of push through and stick with the JC.
Yeah, good old JC.
It's just what, like his bestie's calling. So, you know, we're on a first name basis.
Very nice.
It's totally a thing. Well, there's only one thing missing, and that is Belinda herself. So welcome, Belinda Lakeland, to the Big Three.
Hello.
Oh, you're so enthusiastic. That's very different to Mark. He's like, yeah, hi.
Yeah, I know. He is. You can come more often.
Refreshing, yeah. I'd love to hear more often.
So, Belinda, I mean, Mark kind of shared on Sunday night that you've been around for the last couple of months, a part of our GBC team. But I guess for those in the evening service who may not know you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
I also use JC because we're besties.
Yes, so. represent.
On the podcast. Yeah.
That's how I got the job, actually. I just name dropped.
I'll meet JC.
Once upon a time, I trained as a maths teacher. So my degree at uni was in maths. And I did
disgusting.
Well, I have heard maths spoken of very poorly on this podcast.
Yeah,
so I just wanted to correct that. There are people out there who like maths and Jesus.
Represent.
Yeah, I represent.
A small demographic.
But we represent.
But you are there. We're here. And the Lord sees you.
Yeah, I'm married to Tim. He's my favorite person in the whole world. It's a joy to be married to him. And we are raising four children. Our elders are 17 now, so nearly have an adult.
Yeah. Oh, boom.
Wild teen days.
And it's three boys and a daughter. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, delight. I love it all. Well, it's great to have you here. We're excited to hear what you've got to share with us. Last night was awesome. Today's going to be amazing as well. So let's get into the big three.
So, Belinda, question one, you kind of talked about, you know, that Jesus said very plainly, Jesus is the king, and then he gets to set the agenda. And a lot of the time we try and set our own agenda, or we get muddled up halfway through God's agenda and switch it to our own or whatever's going on. But we really want to know, can you help to clarify for us, how do we know if our agenda is God's agenda?
Yeah, it's such a great question. When we ask through all of life, you know, as you're young and thinking about study, and then you think about work, and then you think about family and marriage. I mean, you're just constantly coming back to, well, what is God's agenda? Mm. So it does serve me right for raising it, really, in the sermon. I think I didn't touch on it as clearly as I could have. There's actually a verse in John chapter 6, the passage we were looking at. So John chapter 6, verse 29 says, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So in essence, the passage would say the agenda, God's agenda is for you to believe in his son, Jesus. So at the end of the day, that would be the most important thing. But then I think as we start to live that out, we're like, well, I believe in Jesus. We know that that must change our life and transform our life. And so how do we make decisions based around what we feel we should be doing in life? One way I found helpful to think about that is using these questions. So observe, reflect, and discuss. So what am I observing? Where opportunities am I seeing? Where am I seeing doors close? How am I feeling about things? Just taking note of what you're seeing and feeling, then reflecting on them. What could this possibly mean? And then the discuss is really important because we often talk about a personal faith in Jesus, but we're put in community. And even as Baptists, one of the things that makes us different is that we really believe in discerning God through community. So that's why we have Baptist meetings, and that's why we need to go to our Baptist meetings because we discern God's will together. But as a follower of Jesus, then you want to be talking to friends, you want to be talking to youth group and saying, hey, I'm observing this and I'm seeing these reflections. What are your thoughts on that? And so using the communal wisdom that has been put around you to help you discern God's agenda.
Yeah, I love that because often we get kind of stuck in our own self and our own wants and desires get kind of caught up in that. And so you can't see as clearly, but getting other people to kind of step in, they're like, oh, you've missed the mark there, Jess, as is often the case.
Speaking from experience. Yeah. But I guess, you know, one of the things that came out of this question on Sunday, whoever wrote it, I loved it, they kind of followed up with that question asking, you know, when trials come, so specifically trying to discern God's agenda through hard times, how do we know if it is Jesus testing us or Jesus trying to tell us that this is not his plan? So I guess, you know, as you observe and reflect, there's always, and I guess particularly in trials, but there's always an opportunity to misread. And I get that the discuss is a big part of that. But yeah, how do we...
Yeah, that's a good question to ask as well, because there's no simple answer, because sometimes a trial could mean this is the wrong path for you. You need to change direction. It could be a consequence of sin. And then sometimes a trial, you know, the Bible warns us about facing trials. And so we know if we're facing a trial, we still need to keep following Jesus. You know, a trial doesn't mean give up on your faith. It doesn't keep going.
And I'm out.
So, you know, a trial is definitely worth observing and reflecting on. Because I can think in my life where trials have both been a sign of this isn't for you, but a sign of just keep going. And as a woman in ministry, I face barriers and I have people say to me, you shouldn't be doing this and coming, showing me in scripture where it says I shouldn't be doing this. Wow. And that's been an emotional burden that I've carried for about 5 years. But a couple of years ago, it became a lot. it became a real trial for me dealing with the emotions around that. And I had to sit down and think, what does this mean for me? Is this the wrong path for me? And my reflections and my observations and my discussions were, Jesus has called me. He's gifted me. He's given me this job. And one day I'm going to stand before him. And I could just imagine him saying, Belinda, I called you, I gifted you, I gave you the job. Why didn't you follow?
Yeah.
And I thought, if I don't do this, I'm giving into fear of man.
Wow.
Hate is going to hate, but you got to...
just shake it off, as T-Swizz would say.
She's my other go-to when I'm reflecting on life. Yeah.
Another name drop for the podcast. No, but I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, that's
and
huge.
I think, because this is such a, I think this question and probably one of the reasons why it keeps coming up is because it's such a heart cry, isn't it? For so many people is like, you're right. We make this decision to follow Jesus. And then there's so much in scripture that says, you know, follow his ways, you know, give everything to him, live for him each day. And so I hear when I read this question, this real desire, it's like, yes, I want that. I want to do that because I know, Mark was preaching in the morning and he was talking about the I'm the light of the world in John and that whole, you know, we want to live in the light of Jesus. And, you know, your message last night around the bread of life, we want Jesus to be our provision. Like there's such a desire for that, such a craving for that, but then such an uncertainty. Like we have such certainty in Jesus and such, I think, doubt in ourselves. Like, oh, but am I doing it right? Am I going down the right path? Am I thinking through this right? And there's just that deep desire and I completely forget where I was going with that.
Good.
Yeah, beautiful. Excellent. So I'll just leave you all with
but it was profound.
Despair.
Thank you.
I'm not even going to try and just faffle my way back into a thought process. Wow, this happens even on a podcast.
Yeah.
Could edit it out, will not. Just going to keep it real for the JC, another name drop, and everything's fine. How would you, like, just as a follow-up in that, though, how do you, because obviously that discuss phase, you had people both kind of affirming your call and then obviously there were people who were not. How do you discern in that space?
Yeah, that is a good question because on many topics, actually, Christians have different opinions.
Yeah.
And valid, you know, I think there is room for grey and room to say, well, I see it differently. So I think in that case, because I know people that I love and really admire who think that I shouldn't be a woman in ministry. So it really came down to then those other reflections and observations of I genuinely had a moment of calling to the job that I have.
Yeah.
And a reflection of 20 years I've wanted to do this. And whenever I've had a chance to do something like this, people have affirmed it in me.
Yeah.
And then another moment I prayed, you know, a moment of this is hard. Should I keep going? I was speaking at a church camp and I thought at the end of this church camp, I'm going to decide whether I quit or not.
Oh, wow. No pressure.
based on how the camp goes. So I hadn't said anything to anyone. The camp didn't know that this is what I was going through, but I was praying that God would guide me and make it clear to me. And I think it was six. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Six people came up to me at that camp, grabbed my hand because it's before COVID, looked me in the eyes and said, Belinda, you have a gift and you need to keep going. And I thought, okay.
All right, God.
All right, JC. I hear you. You've made it clear.
Yeah.
So I had other elements that I was evaluating apart from speaking to people who I respected.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think the thing that I love about this kind of practice of discerning that observe, reflect, discuss is that it's participation. I think so often we can kind of go, oh, if God wants it, he'll make it. It'll happen. And there's truth to that. Obviously, he can move mountains, so he can make anything happen. But particularly, you know, here at GBC, we're always talking about the invitation to participate. And this provides that opportunity to kind of go, okay, I've got a question here. I want to figure out if this is actually from God. This is how I can participate and open up opportunities for God to speak through that. And like, I think the camp is a perfect example of that. And he totally did in real big ways.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think a really important part of this is giving yourself time. A lot of the time I'm like, okay, I've got a big decision coming up. I just like think about mull over it myself for a while. Then the day before I'm like, all right, God, let's go. I still don't know what I'm going to do. So we'll hand it over to you. And you don't have time to mull over the word, to talk to people, to get different opinions. And yeah, just giving yourself a lot of time to think over those things and see God's plan.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Yeah, it does take time.
Yeah, for sure.
Love it. All right, well, let's move on to question two. Belinda, you were talking about, I guess, just the brokenness of our world, but that obviously the whole, you know, Jesus' purpose was to come to restore and renew all things and to bring about new life. He is the source of life, the bread of life. And I guess this taps into this this imagery that we talk about a lot in church and kind of has become, pardon the pun, our bread and butter. But, oh, I loved that.
Nice.
Thank you guys. Just, I needed you to acknowledge it. I needed you to acknowledge it. But, you know, what does that actually look like? What should we be expectant of? And I guess that's what question two really taps into. What does it look like when the bread of life comes in to fix the broken system?
Oh, what a great question.
It is a cracker.
For me, as I prepared the sermon, that part of the sermon was actually the part that spoke to me the most.
Yeah.
Just remembering how broken our world is and how complex the problems are and just thinking only God could fix this, you know, like we need, and that whole idea that someone outside the system, that the bread of heaven has come down to change the system. So thank you for asking this question because this part really spoke to me. And, you know, so I had in mind, obviously, there will come a day when Jesus will return and will restore and renew the world and all the complexity and all the sin and all the death and all the tears will be taken care of. So that is ultimately the hope that we're looking forward to, that, you know, how the bread of life will fix. But in the meantime, you know, it's that now and not yet.
Yep.
So there's work to be done and God does it. Like, God is working in our world. So sometimes just miraculous things happen. God just steps in and intervenes in ways. You know, God works through people who don't know him yet. So there are people in our world who are doing good, who are working to end hunger and end thirst. And, you know, so I think God's active in all those elements. But then God's active in us as well. And you have written above your door, as the Father is sending me, so I send you. And he wants to use us as his partners in bringing about that restoration and the healing. And he transforms us so we can be part of the solution.
Yeah.
You know, Jess, I've been listening. I've heard the changes that you've made in your life around ethical consumption. And, you know, that's being part of the solution. That's saying, I want to take care of the environment. I want to create a better world. And so it's through us individually and us as a community, because Jesus created the church. And it was in one of the songs that we sang on Sunday night. And I just love it. Like, and the church of Christ was born, you know? And I'm like,
that's
amen.
Such a banger.
It is. The beat picks up. You're like, yes, step out foot.
Yeah, you sort of just like announce it, you know? Like, the church is here. And the church is part of the solution. And it's us coming together and doing good and helping our neighborhoods and loving our communities. And so Jesus started a revolution, like not the kind the crowd wanted. I think the crowd was sort of like, well, let's get rid of the Gentiles and spill some blood. And you're like, I'm starting a revolution of love. Like, you are going to go to those Gentiles and love them, and that's going to bring change. And you're going to go to your neighbor and love them, and that's going to bring change. And so we are agents of change. And in the meantime, you knowing it's a task unfinished, you know, we'll never perfect it. We're finite beings. It's the job is longer than our lifetime, but just each faithful step after faithful step, seeing Jesus bring change.
Yeah. How, because I think, you know, something that I've been reflecting on a lot this year is around, like, how do we then approach the world when the world doesn't necessarily see the brokenness? Because obviously that's where the church has kind of found itself ostracizing people, isolating people, not necessarily loving people, because it's like, I'm going to identify the brokenness in you or in this society. And from, you know, society's perspective, it's like, well, we wouldn't call that broken. So how then, as we're kind of agents of that change, how do we engage in that space? Because that's a hard tension, isn't it? It's like, well, I know the truth that Jesus tells me. I know that this world is broken. It's not in line with the plans and purposes of God as it stands now, but there is a plan in place to restore it. Jesus is doing that work. It's in the process of being completed. I'm invited to be a part of that. But then there's a whole world out there that goes, we don't even see the problem. How do we communicate that?
So we model it, you know, the church comes together as that transformed community. And so we just live it out. So hopefully people who are looking on are going, oh, that's what you mean. That's what healthy relationships look like. That's what love looks like. That's what sacrifice looks for. So in a sense, it should be a tangible expression of what we're on about to highlight the difference, I guess. We don't necessarily – there's a place for what people call a prophetic role in calling out sin and brokenness, but I'm not sure too many of us are called to that. I think for most of us, if you think about Plan A, it's relational. It's coming alongside people, living out that difference. Well, that's the first principle of Plan A, growing as a disciple of Jesus. Yeah. So just being an authentic follower of Jesus, then being in close proximity to people, so knowing others and creating that trust and allowing those conversations and almost waiting for the permission to speak into people's lives. When people start asking you questions like, why are you different? Like, why is your family like that? Why did you give away that money? Why did you stop eating meat? You know, they're the moments where we get to then speak into people's lives and we should pray that they come up. Yeah, I think we're not looking for a fight. We're looking for permission.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's maybe Mark's mentioned it before, but like when people are asked about the church, they don't necessarily have good things to say. Mm. But when it's like, oh, but do you know Belinda and that she's a Christian? It's like, oh, yeah, best person around, love her. Mm. And so, yeah, like absolutely has to start with relationship. Like, and I don't like, don't understand why we would think anything different. Our whole life is centered around our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We're built to be relational beings. It's ingrained in us. It's the reflection of the image of God when He created us. And so, of course, that would be a huge part of the way in which we're called to kind of go and make disciples and see the world restored and see lives transformed by Jesus. Mm. I love that. Mm. All right, boom. Let's move on to question three.
So question three, I really love. It shows kind of our heart to help out our friends and to give others some peace with the knowledge that we have. And obviously that's your heart too when you talk about Plan A and all your evangelism passion and things like that. So we want to know, how can we use God's encouragement to best support and guide others to follow Him?
Oh, this is a good question. And I'm learning about this. So I must say, when I was a young adult, I was pretty judgmental and made a lot of assumptions. So if somebody I knew was following Jesus and then walked away or was struggling, I made some pretty unkind assumptions about why that was. Now I'm a little bit older and wiser. But what's really happened is I've been through my own time, my own, they call it dark night of the soul, and significant doubts. And going through that experience taught me a lot about not making assumptions about what people are going through, because it wasn't as if there was sin in my life and I just decided I just wanted to, you know, embrace the world. But it was real theological doubt, real physical illness that I was struggling with. And so going through that, what I really, really needed was a friend, just someone who would sit down, not judge me, not even try and give me answers, but just let me say the most outrageous things and start saying out loud the things that I was struggling with. You know, some people call it a deconstruction, but the idea that when you're reconsidering some of your beliefs and thinking through how that impacts your life and the decisions you make, you just need someone to sit with you. And so my first advice would be listen. And you don't necessarily need answers, but just let people say things and let them keep speaking. And there are plenty of places of where you can get answers. You know, people have written books on any topic you could ask a question on. So if people want answers, you could possibly direct them to something you could read together. But I think just being with them and noticing when they're not there, I think. So I withdrew from anyone who I knew, because I thought if someone asked me how I'm going to not cope. So that was my decision. So I'm not cross that people didn't notice. But I think, you know, if you have a friend and you're thinking, gee, they're not showing up to church and they've missed a few life groups, I mean, just reach out to them and say, hey, I haven't noticed you're around. Did you want to catch up? And then just ask them how they're going. And the other thing I would say is be real about your own doubts, you know. So the Great Commission actually sort of is introduced with 11 doubting disciples. You know,
love that.
That's one. That's the, like, all right.
Always there to make me feel better.
So relatable.
Aren't they gold? You know, even in the passage last night, well, where else will we go? Yeah. You know, we'll hang around a little bit.
I got nowhere better to be, JC. I got nowhere better to be.
And so it's just a reality. Yeah. And I think we should just normalize doubt, and we should normalize asking questions and normalize seasons of, I'm not sure about that. And maybe I'll never resolve it. I fully expect, actually, that by the time I see Jesus, there will be things I don't know still.
Yeah.
So I think normalizing that. So I've tried to be a little bit more honest and open about what I went through. It's a little bit hard because I sort of have a public role, but I think it's just important, because when I went through it, I genuinely did not know anyone else who I thought has been through this. So now I'm saying, well, I went through that, and if you want to talk to me, I will listen to you. So
yeah,
they're the sorts of things I think can help encourage each other.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think for people like someone who's grown up in the church, the things you hear as kids, and there's always going to be a time where the rubber hits the road and you're like, okay, this is what I believed as a child because my parents told me or that's how I grew up. But what do I actually believe? So everyone's kind of got to go through that. So not making it so taboo. And you touched on in your sermon, like Jesus says outrageous things, like not necessarily for us in the context, but eating flesh and drinking blood. And like that was really weird for the Jews. And there's things that Jesus says that are really weird for us now. And so being honest with the fact that some things don't necessarily sit right with us or that we've got to mull over or,
Yeah, I think that piece around normalizing doubt and normalizing questions and even normalizing struggles is so critical because, I always found I didn't grow up in church. So, for me coming to church, I remember walking in and just being like, everyone has got their stuff together here and like they are so polished and I like just even the concept, and I think this perfectly sums it up, like for church you wore your Sunday best, you put your best foot forward, and I think obviously that tradition came from just being respectful. Church was a place in which there was reverence, and I get that, but I think that there's an undercurrent there around this culture of don't let people know like what's really going on, because then you're not one of us, you're one of you're out kind of thing. And I just know too many people, myself included, who struggled silently, like, and just thought, well, I am the only person who has struggled with this. And, you know, that's exactly what you were saying, Belinda. And we just need it. We need to normalize it because just that's what living faith out is. It's doing it in community. It's having open, honest, vulnerable, raw, sometimes, you know, just painful conversations, knowing that and trusting that what you're going to be met with from a community of faith is grace and mercy and love. And I just, just too many times I've had conversations with people and it's like, oh, yeah, it's been 6 months or 12 months or years that I've been struggling with this, whatever it may be. And it's like, I wish we established a culture where it was like, oh, you know, prayer up the front after the service. Oh, something came up for me this week and I'm going to go talk about it because I know I can. I think I just, the second that you said that, I'm like, yes, that there's something in that. There's something super powerful about that. And we just need to start. We just need to have people willing to kind of go, yeah, all right, I'll talk about this. I'll be honest and open. In a safe way, obviously, and in a safe space, you got to look after yourself. But there's power in that. And I think it's in those moments where you get to experience grace in really profound ways, where you get to experience Jesus in really profound ways. I love that. I think that's huge. And I also think that that will help break down some of the stereotypes that have kind of been created about the church and about Christians, because too often, you know, the picture is you're going to get hammered if you tell a Christian what's really going on. I'd love to contradict that. And imagine what that would mean for those who don't yet know him, that they'd actually be able to experience him through that act of grace.
Yeah, it takes the bulk of us creating the culture of actually receiving that with grace, right? Yeah. And not switching to judgment straight away.
But also we need to trust it. Like, and we need to create a community of trust where it's like, okay, I'm going to put myself out there now and I really need, you know, the group to catch me, like doing a trust fall. Please don't step back. Like,
for sure.
But gosh, man, that's powerful. I reckon when you see that happen, that'll be
authentic,
a day,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Well, Belinda, thanks so much. That's been amazing. I'm loving what you're doing here at GBC. Yeah. I loved your message on Sunday, and I love having you on the Big Three. So you can just stick around.
Well, thank you.
Because
I'll tell
my permission.
I'll tell Mark you've decided. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Bless you. Thanks. Oh, Jessica Baker.
Matt Willis.
So much to discuss. Yeah. What's standing out for you after, you know, the message on Sunday and now being able to unpack it a little bit more with Belinda here? Like, I don't know, what are you kind of chewing at the bit for?
I just think it's such like wholesome, delightful chats. And you could see when she was talking about like that broken system and what Jesus brings to that. Like, you could see the passion in her eyes, how excited she was talking about that. And that's just so contagious and just was really nice to hear. I really loved the part about, like, how do we encourage our friends, and it's just to sit with them and listen without judgment. And I think, that's just so vital and potentially something that's lacking a little bit in our church.
I really loved that just, you know, super simple, super practical way of kind of discerning from the Spirit. Observe what's happening around you, within you, reflect on it, and then discuss it. I think that's a good starting point for a lot of us because, like we've said, this just keeps coming up in the big three. It's clearly something that our community is hungry for. And so it's a great way to start to think of how we can practically start to discern from God. Because like I said before, like, people want to do it. Like, people want to follow Jesus. They want to live in a way that is in line with what he calls us to. There's just a little bit of self-doubt that we can do that right. And I mean, I love a good 3-point sermon and, you know, it was 3 points. It wasn't a sermon, but that's okay.
I think, like, she's not asking us to do outrageously big things or, you know, make huge claims. She's just like, we're talking about just taking little bites of the bread of life, you know, just little bits every day intentionally sowing into the word and talking to your friends. And, like, it's not huge things. No. It's not all in one go, but I really loved it.
Which ties perfectly into the discipleship cycle, doesn't it? Because the whole challenge of that is that faith is not compartmentalized to Sundays. Mm. It's something that we do each and every day in big and in small ways. Well, I love it. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jessica Baker.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you Wednesday when we're both starving.
Yep.
Excellent. Love it. It's going to be a time. Well, if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure you're there at one of our services this Sunday and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.